This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
NFL fans, are you hungry for a big win this weekend? DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, has you covered. New customers can bet just $5 on any NFL team to win their game, and if they do, you can win $200 in free bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps. Bet just $5 on any NFL team to win their game and win $200 in free bets. If they win, you win with promo code FANRUN in all caps this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line. 1-800-889-9789.
You're tuned in to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
And hello, good afternoon, and welcome to another stellar edition of The Drive here on Fan Run Radio. Russell Smith punching the time clock. You know, folks, I got up this morning. I was able to sleep in. Been up late the past two nights. Of course, did voluntary reaction into the wee hours of the morning. I didn't go to bed till after 4 a.m. Saturday night, Sunday morning. Slept till like 11 yesterday. It was nice. But still, just kind of a little spent the next all day yesterday. Didn't watch any football until the evening. I watched the replay. I watched a little bit the end of the Cowboys game, and then I watched the replay of the Ole Miss game. So I've got thoughts on that. Then I stayed up writing a piece for fanrunradio.com that's up there. You can go watch the end of the Steelers game. And it's just wound up last night. I got up at 11 yesterday in the morning, so my clock is messed up. So I'm up to like 2 o'clock yesterday, slept in again today. It's just trying to get back on schedule, right? And I got up this morning determined to have a good day. Do a nice start, man. Did some show prep, made some sales calls, took care of some business. And I get out of the house and do something I haven't done for a while. I'm going to go to Arby's for lunch. And I haven't been there in a while. And apparently, they have gotten rid of the potato cakes as a side order option.
So what'd you get?
I got French fries, Jake, and they sucked.
Which one's, the curly fries or the new crinkle fries?
The new crinkle fries. It's beside the point. My beloved potato cakes are no longer on the menu, and that just sent me into a bear-like rage. Now I'm just back to where I was Saturday night after the game. I mean, the potato cakes, they're delicious. Why would you ever get... Anyway, I'm going to get off on a tangent here in the first segment. But that's kind of where I'm at. Trying to do the right thing. Trying to be mature. Trying to be an adult. Trying to move forward. Trying to pick up the pieces and move forward. Jake Miller. And now one little thing. Just kind of brought it all back home to me. Put me back at square one. How are you today?
Living the dream, Russ. Just living the absolute dream.
Oh man, what a couple of days, huh? What a couple of it's wild, right?
Like I'm kind of like you, man. Like yesterday, I was so still just dejected from what happened on Saturday. I didn't want to watch football.
Yeah,
so I didn't.
Yeah, you had to take a step away, right?
I did.
Had to count your blessings, do a little gratitude check, realize it's just a game, and that's the healthy thing to do. I know some of y'all probably just hate-watched the NFL all day. Some of y'all probably like got up and rewatched our game first thing, the real sickos out there. Folks, it's Overreaction Monday presented by the Phone Exchange, Knoxville's easiest place to buy, sell, or trade pre-owned phones. You got yourself an old phone laying around the house, take it up to the Phone Exchange. They'll buy it from you. You know, I was at their new location last week in Alcoa, on Gill Street. Beautiful little shop they've got right there on Gill Street. You can't miss it. over there across from, I'm not sure what the street is, but Subs and Such is a good place to go eat out in Maryville. And they're right there, brand new shop. You smell the newness as soon as you walk in there. And of course, you're in Blount County. You take your old phones up there; they'll buy them from you. You need a new phone. You get one of the new iPhones for a couple $100 less than you get in the new stores. Save some money at the Phone Exchange. Appreciate their support of the show. Of course, you got the Phone Exchange original here on Bearden Hill, right next to Soccer Taco, and they've got locations in Murfreesboro and Chattanooga as well. All right, we're going to take a lot of phone calls today. Let's load them up, 865-546-8200. Bear is out at a doctor's appointment. We hope to hear from him at some point, but we might not, so you stuck with me and G.I. Jake for the meantime. 865-546-8200. You want to jump in on the show this afternoon? The news just coming down moments ago, if you are just joining us. Tennessee fined $250,000 by the Southeastern Conference today for the scene at the end of the game against Ole Miss. Of course, a 20-minute delay as frustrated Tennessee fans showered Shields-Watkins Field with debris, bottles, cans, condiments, whatever they could find. And now Tennessee is paying $250,000 as punishment for that. A lot of money for an athletics department with a $100 million operating budget annually. It's not good, but fan base, in my opinion, should not be losing any sleep over it. They will be also requiring Tennessee, as they are already doing anyway, to use, quote, all available resources, including security, stadium, and television video, to identify fans who threw the objects onto the playing field or at the opposing team. And those fans will be banned from attending Tennessee athletic events for the remainder of the 2021-2022 academic and athletic year. So they're still going to the eye in the sky, trying to identify folks. I saw one TV reporter tweet out earlier that they had already arrested 18 people, but some of those might have been like folks that were arrested at the actual game for drunkenness or whatever, or throwing stuff. I don't know how many, if any, of those are from a post-game video review of the stands. And I don't even really know how you do that, man. You get some forensic analysis folks in there to look at the video. Then even if you can spotlight somebody, what do you do? If the cops don't know them, I haven't seen any pictures out on social media of grainy. How do you identify these people and ban them?
I don't know. 47. I think it was 47 people got ejected as well from the game. That was also a part of the report. And the only thing that I really saw was the mugshots of the two guys that were on the initial story. And I think one of them. Yeah, at least one of them was one of them that were throwing things. And some of the charges I saw, I was like, what are these charges?
What were they? What did they say?
I forgot. I'll have to look.
Disorderly conduct, drunken disorderly.
No.
Mayhem.
No, it was
always like a good mayhem charge.
I do like a good mayhem charge.
Well, it's a shame, man. It's a shame that it happened. And I wrote about this at fanrunradio.com today. It's a shame that this is the narrative, because not only does it paint Tennessee fans in a bad light and with a broad brush at that, but it also buries several very pertinent topics. The officiating is, I'm sure we will break that down to levels beyond scientific.
I got you on that.
And obviously it was poor. But in my mind, the huge story that nobody will talk about now. We'll talk about it here locally, but it will not be the national talking point that it was going to be until the incident at the end of the game happened, which is Lane Kiffin utilizing the stop, drop, and roll strategy, all the flopping that went on there. And we've seen that happen before. I've never seen it happen to that degree. We've seen it happen a lot in pro ball. We've seen it happen a lot in college ball. Guys just need a break But I've never seen it happen three or four times per series as we saw it happen Saturday night. And before you hit me with the both sides-ism, well, Tennessee was doing it too. We weren't doing it until the end of the third quarter when it became apparent that that was a part of Lane Kiffin's strategy. And make no mistake, this is not piling on the former Tennessee head coach. He's the head coach of Ole Miss now. That's his football team. It obviously came from the top, and we've even seen video now of previous games where he's telling his players to get down on the – that's his strategy. Rather than use timeouts, they're going to fake injuries. Let's call it what it is.
And get free timeouts.
They're fake injuries. And there was one drive in particular, and I'll go through my notes and talk about it more in depth here, but where it was after we scored the first touchdown in the second half to make it 24-19. Ole Miss misses the field goal. Hooker has a few nice runs. Tennessee's got all the momentum, down five. Ole Miss faked three injuries in five plays, completely disrupting the momentum that Tennessee had. I mean, it worked. And Heupel made a mistake, I think, in kicking the long field goal. I wish he had just gone for it there. They're in no man's land. Nobody thought McGrath was going to make that. But if they're not faking those injuries, there's no doubt in my mind we zip right down there and score, and it's 26-24 Vols, and then we're in the shootout we all expected. But anyway, we're not going to talk about there. A lot of people were talking about that during the game on social media, on national, you know, they're making fun of it on the stupid SEC Network broadcast, but I'm sure it's frustrating for, if you're just a casual fan and you're watching that, you're like, what is this? This is a farce, man. This is stupid. Like, something's got to be done about this. And now all that talk gets buried. And so guess what? This is a problem for Heupel, right? Because now it's going to happen again. Because now the book is out. Oh, this is the way you can slow down their defense. And it's going to keep happening again. And so, you know, I don't know. But that's a major problem for Josh Heupel moving forward. All right, phone line's already piling up, man. We're going to take a quick timeout. We'll come right back to these phone calls. We'll review five things I want to see. Newsflash, didn't see all of them. Stay with us. The drive continues. It's Overreaction Monday, brought to you by The Phone Exchange. Your phone calls coming up next. You know the drill. Overreaction Monday. As many of your phone calls as we can work in. Line's already jammed. Let's get right to it. Geraldo Vall, you're on the G3 Help Me Hotlines. Go ahead.
I would like to read a statement constructed by my lawyers.
Okay. Are you in some sort of legal trouble that we don't know of?
Here we go. On Monday, October 11th, Geraldo Vall of the Internet called into the drive to urge fans visiting Neyland to be, quote, borderline dangerous. In no way did Geraldo Vall of the Internet suggest that anyone throw anything during the game. The phrase borderline dangerous could be left up to many interpretations. On Saturday, October 16th, the Neyland insurrection occurred. Some may even say that it became borderline dangerous. As we go forward, Geraldo Vall of the Internet will choose his words carefully. He did not realize what an influence he is on the Vall community. Now that he knows his power, Geraldo Vall of the Internet has some advice for Josh Heupel. On Saturday, throw the slant. Go Vols.
And there's a drive deep to left field by Castellanos. Geraldo, thought about you Saturday night. You got everything you wanted in this up. Because, like Madonna, we went over the borderline. It was borderline dangerous. We went over the borderline. That was dangerous, man. I mean, look, I'm not going to chastise Tennessee fans. I get it. We're all angry.
No.
But that was dangerous. I mean, as much as Lane Kiffin deserves all the horrible things that have happened to him and will happen to him, because here's the thing about Lane Kiffin, guys like that get what goes around comes around. He's going to get his again. A guy like that can't hold it together, okay? He is young Ed Ogeron, and he's already been tarmacked once, and he'll that's going to happen to him again at some point. That being said, if he gets hit in the face with that golf ball, man, he could have lost an eye. He could have been seriously injured, and that wouldn't have been cool at all. You know, somebody else could have.
That would have been bad. But I will say, me personally, if I were there, I probably wouldn't have thrown anything onto the field. But I understand why it happened. Like, I definitely get why it happened and understand the frustration, because I think everybody watching at home was just as frustrated of, like, man, not only is the officiating terrible, but, like, you got Ole Miss faking the injuries. Nothing will go our way in terms of, like, okay, I think Bear said this perfectly on voluntary reaction. Had the official said that's a first down, it would have been a first down. You know, like, it's just, I don't know, it just feels like sometimes, I don't know. I understand why it happened. I wouldn't have participated in such activities, but I understand why it happened.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's a good way of putting it. And I'm sure all the pearl clutchers in the blue check brigade will think, well, you don't have to understand why it happened. It's never happened. You never thought, there's no excuse. It's like, really? There's no reason for it? I can name you 10 reasons for it right now. Yeah, you don't do it, but we can walk and chew gum at the same time here, people. Let's not act like Tennessee fans just spontaneously decided to do this for no good reason. It's like
it happened 12 hours later during the Jacksonville Jaguars game.
Yeah, thank you for saying that. Nobody has talked about that.
Well, it's it went a little bit overboard in Neyland, and it was too long and it was too much. Here's another thing nobody talks about. Whenever we see stuff like that in basketball, what happens? The head coach of the home team walks over to the scorer's table and picks up the PA mic and says, y'all cut this out. We got to play. I've seen Rick Barnes do it. We've seen other coaches do it. I think Pearl's done it. We've seen it happen a lot. Everybody knows what I'm talking about, right? We've all seen that before. Hey, stop doing whatever it is you're doing. The field mic, this Curless clown, this stooge, he's got a mic, right? We see him use it.
Yep.
Why doesn't he, within a minute or two of this happening, go find Josh Heupel, hand that mic to Heupel, and Heupel, all he has to do is say, look, folks, we're still in this thing. We got 3 timeouts. Cut all this foolishness out. Let's go win this game. And at that point, I guarantee you would have stopped within a minute of him doing that. That's all that had to be done. And it just further illustrates that crew had no control of that ball game, no business being in that stadium, completely overwhelmed by the moment.
And it's not the first time this guy has been involved with a controversial game.
Jake's got a list of all these guys, and I'd forgotten.
Not just our games, everybody's games.
Yeah, we're going to get to that here in a second. Finish up for us, Geraldo.
Well, that's exactly what I was going to say. I mean, I think this is on the officiating crew, and they've been known to screw up all the time, especially this year. I don't think they should keep calling games.
No.
If
that crew ever sets foot on another SEC football field, it's a disgrace. A disgrace, Geraldo. Those guys should be reffing middle school games in Topeka for the rest of their lives. I don't know if they're qualified for that.
That's not fair to that middle school. So I'll just say, I hope we throw a lot of slants on Saturday night, and we'll see how well they're defended and by Alabama's linebacker.
All right. That's good, Geraldo. I like that. Thank you. 865-546-8200. As Geraldo Vall drops off, that creates a line available for you. Listen, I'm all in favor of a second chance. That was that crew's, they're like fifth or sixth chance in the last 10 years. And those guys couldn't run a children's birthday party. You talk about a bunch of damn cowards, afraid of the moment, afraid to make a call, afraid to take control. The fact that they're out there just several weeks after that disaster they presided over in Memphis is an absolute disgrace, Greg Sankey. Step up and own it. Step up and own it. It's so easy to draft a statement and hit a fine that Tennessee won't. Booster stroke that check tomorrow. Danny White find that change in his couch. So easy to look big and bad in front of the national media. Oh, I put those Tennessee rednecks in their place. I showed them who's boss. That's easy. Why don't you fix your officiating, dude? Why don't you fire those guys publicly? Just say they've reffed their last SEC game. We wish them well in their future endeavors. Done. Why don't you do that? Why don't you have a little accountability? Show some accountability, Greg Sankey. It's going to happen again because you won't fix it.
No, you won't address it's never going to stop.
It's like, I mean, any parent knows. If you just punish the child for the misbehavior without addressing the cause of the misbehavior, the situation will repeat itself. You don't fix anything today, Greg Sankey. But you get to go to your clubs in Birmingham. You get to put on your blazer and go to church. And everybody, oh, there's Greg Sankey, the big boss man. You're weak. You're a weak leader.
Oh, I just negotiated a $2 billion TV.
Anybody could have done that. I'll go over to Old Ben Franklin Motors and find you a dozen car salesmen that probably could have negotiated a better deal.
I read these books on leadership over the summer. I'm going to tweet out a picture of all the books I read. I'm so thoughtful and intelligent. Just marvel at the intellect.
Get out of here, dude. What are you doing?
D.R. Vall's next. Good afternoon, D.R. Vall.
Now, don't worry. He'll tweet out a Bible verse, Russ.
Yeah, oh, yeah, that's right. Bring Jesus into it, too. That's, yep. Hide behind your religion, Sankey, you coward!
I know plenty of people like that do that. Yeah, I mean, this crew is going to get the Josh Gordon treatment of second chances, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. They'll be back out there. They'll probably come back to Neyland.
Don't you love, guys, how Will Wade's on wiretap, but man, they can get us fined within 2 days of this crap. Like, well, they won't want to pick on us. I love the hypocrisy.
God.
I love it. These clowns that we, and they got us by the balls. There's not a damn thing we can do about it because we're not Bama. And if you don't cut that check, if you don't shut up and kiss Sankey's ring and, I mean, like they held all the power, and that's the situation that, you know, we've allowed to happen and that we've put ourselves in.
Yeah, and we're in the middle of the NCAA investigation, so it's not like we can come out and strong arm, you know, Sankey or the SEC by trying to stand up for ourselves because we need them right now.
Yeah, they hold all the cards for sure.
Well, and this is the last thing before I get off here. Speaking of hypocrisy, you know, David Ubbin wants to talk about people like doing stuff, Tennessee fans being dumber, more extreme, when you got Alabama fans killing each other when they lose. And I love how when he comes here, he wants to ask Tennessee fans to subscribe to Athletic for his job and then run us in the ground. Reminds me of the Scorpion King telling us it's his team and then begging us to follow along with his little NIL crap. But the hypocrisy and all this is just maddening, guys. I'm going to get off here. Y'all have a great day.
Too, man. I love David Ubbin's heel turn now that he's not on the beat day in and day out. A2 Ubbin? Really? Thought we could trust you, man. No. Everybody likes that low-hanging fruit, though, man. It's easy when you don't have to reach too far, right? Take a whack at Tennessee fans. All right.
Some of the lies that some people were putting out, too. Saying there were plastic and glass bottles thrown, that was just a blatant lie because there are no glass bottles that are served at the stadium.
Somebody could have brought in airplane bottles?
Most of those are plastic.
Okay. All right. We got to take a quick timeout. Stay with us. More of your phone calls on the way. 865-546-8200. If you want to get on the G3 Help Me hotline, if your loved one is injured in an accident, call the law offices of G. Turner Howard III or visit G3HelpMe.com. G. Turner Howard III. G3HelpMe.com. Check them out. Tell them Fan Run sent you. Their number is 865-401-8214. To get help now, G3HelpMe.com. Our number is 865-546-8200, and we're back with more of your phone calls after this. Man, people were lit up in that place Saturday night. You surprised they didn't say no more beer sales the rest of the year?
Honestly, I'd say if they're going to do anything, probably no beer after halftime.
I think,
honest God, I don't think that's the problem.
Yeah, no, it's not the problem because people are going to be drunk anyway because they're going to drink outside and they're going to bring their booze inside with them. And I think the university realizes that, and they're not going to not get that revenue just to make some sort of a point. But do you think this is it, or do you think that because this comes from the SEC, this is their decision? I wonder if Danny White and maybe the prudent thing to do would be to leave it alone for a minute, right?
Probably.
That's the last home game for a long time. What's our next home game? Georgia?
It's going to be Georgia, yeah.
So, and that's like 3 or 4 weeks away.
3 weeks away.
So, I might let it sit for a little bit, let cooler heads prevail. Maybe you do have to do something to show you mean business, look tough, like Greg Sankey down there, big tough guy. But I don't know. There's much you can do, man. That was the – listen – again, it's a shame that all this talk overshadows what a great night it was, even with the loss. Even with the loss. I mean, the atmosphere in there was – it's the best atmosphere I've seen since the 98 Florida game. It was every bit as raucous as it was that night. The game presentation, I will give Danny White his credit there. I mean, his team, they nailed it, dude. Like, the way they piped the music in there and, you know, mixing between the graphics and the music and the band, the light show and everything, it was all on point. It was fantastic. I don't want to hear any bull crap about, oh, can't we just win games? Oh, yeah, don't win football games. Why is it all going to be a light show?
Because it was incredible.
Yeah, that had nothing to do with the outcome of the game. All it did was help, right? Because they're a better team than us, Ole Miss is, right now. And without that crowd and that atmosphere behind us, I mean, they might have won the game more decisively. It wouldn't have come down to officiating calls and stuff like that. And the crowd had a direct impact on the game. Like, that safety was the crowd because they get the ball at the 6 or maybe the 8, I want to say. And then a false start because they can't hear the snap count puts it on the goal line. And then that's where the sack penalty in the end zone situation happened. That doesn't happen without the crowd. So they had a direct impact on the game. The team's effort was fantastic, as it has been all year long. I thought Heupel has handled everything well, you know, after the game. And then today, as far as handling the tough questions about everything that happened, he said exactly what he has to say. He's moving on. He is very collected in those situations. I don't think you have to worry about Heupel having some sort of meltdown moment in a presser, and this doesn't seem like him. And, you know, the problems are evident team-wise. I mean, depth is obviously the main issue. Situational awareness, not just talking about Milton, but, you know, other situations, we got to be more aware of down and distance and what needs to happen and that sort of thing. But it's just, I said it Saturday night, when you go out there, and I expect this team to move the football and score points just about every time they get their hands on the ball. And it's so refreshing. I don't think I've felt that way since Peyton Manning was here. You know, it's always been, well, you know, field position –
maybe we don't score, but if we can get a first down or two, we flip field position with a good punt. And like, you don't think that way anymore. It's like, all right, let's go score. So I'm digging that. Let's go back to the phones. 865-546-8200. Jamie is next on the G3 Help Me Hotlines. What's up, Jamie?
I kind of had a feeling that Alabama would finally sneak it back in the top four, and they did. How do you like being Michigan playing in a Power 5 conference in 6-0 and being jumped by a one-loss team? Alabama runs the thing, don't they?
I guess so, man. I'll be honest, Jamie, I didn't even know that. Haven't been paying attention. I've been so absorbed in everything that's going on here. My thing, if I'm a Michigan fan, it's you're undefeated, so you control your own destiny. Right, yeah. I mean, you got to beat Ohio State. If you do that, you take care of yourself. You're going to be in that playoff, and I can't admit I wouldn't worry too much about the rankings at this point if I were them.
No, I mean, I guess you're right because there's two SEC teams. One of them's going to get eliminated in the top four. Guys, I noticed Sankey. I heard him last night on the Nation. When it came to making excuses for the officials, he went ahead and fired off the old tried and true, you know, they're just human beings, they make mistakes, so therefore no consequences. Well, aren't Tennessee fans human beings, they make mistakes, therefore no consequences? Isn't that funny how that works that way? A little double standard.
Yeah.
Egregious errors on the field.
Yeah. How about this? We talk a lot about money today. How about you take some of that $250,000 that you're getting from UT? How about you get a Ford, an advance from your bank, your partners over there at Regions? How about you get them to forward you some of that $2 billion TV money that's getting set to go in effect here in a couple of years? And how about you buy a couple of camcorders? How about you go up to the phone exchange, get you a couple iPhones, so we can get a camera on the other side of the field? Is that... I'm sorry, is it 2021? We got 100,000 people in the building. We got millions more watching at home. And we've got two stinking angles of the play. We don't have a camera on the Ole Miss side of the field so we can see where the football is. And Jacob Warren's hand, are you kidding me? What is this, 1992? Is this JPTV or the Daves up there in the booth? I mean, you got to be kidding me.
Russ, that's funny you should bring that up because the conference has never been more flush with cash than they are right now. Never.
I mean, I'm watching that game last night. I can't wait because I'm thinking, okay, well, you know, in stadium they only showed us the main view that you see like when you're watching the game. That's all we had. And so I'm thinking, okay, we'll get multiple camera angles. All they had the main view, the game feed, and then they had – like a grainy, it looked like the Zapruder film or something. I kept waiting on JFK's head to explode. They've got, I'm sorry, too soon. And you can't even see anything. It's like a shot of Jacob Warren's ass. And I'm like, okay, you're telling me there's not a single all we've seen all night long in that broadcast is close-ups of Lane Kiffin from every conceivable angle. We're going to interview him before the game. We're going to interview him at halftime. We're going to interview him after the game. I don't even know what Josh Heupel was wearing. They never showed him. And you got cameras on Lane Kiffin at all times, but you don't have a camera over there? Like, I'm sorry, there's no angle from that side of the field for the biggest play of the game? You got to be kidding me.
Russ, not only that, now that you bring it up, the angle from the behind Jacob Warren that showed his back, that was from over on campus somewhere. That was the farthest away view from the
That was like a drone hovering over Ayers Hall or something, man. I mean, seriously, yeah. We can't get a better shot than that. It's ridiculous.
And nobody will have the guts to ask.
Absolutely ridiculous.
We'll have the guts to ask Thank you about it. I was kind of disappointed in Chris and Austin last night, how they lobbed up they softballs, you know.
Got to keep that access, man. Got to keep that access. Oh,
my God. Well, you know, at some point you've got to, you know, be loyal to your audience, kind of like the drive is. Access or not, ask the listeners what they prefer. You know, hard-hitting, you know, that's why I like the drive. We don't mask anything. It's where you go for the real, the real deal. Speaking of the real deal, and let's keep it factual, Heupel didn't have his best night calling plays, did he?
I didn't think he was terrible, as some would say. I mean, I thought the only time that I thought was questionable was after the holding penalty and near midfield, and Pierce was in the game, and it was what, like 2nd and 18 or something, and we ran it, and then on 3rd and long we threw in front of the sticks to Warren. He caught it, but he was like 10 yards shy, and we ended up punting. That was the only one that I really was and kicking the field goal. I wish they would have gone for that.
Well, he ran it on 1st and 17 and then ran it again on 2nd and 17.
Yeah,
so
that's
not, it wasn't just one. It was, you know how they say everywhere else, you get 7 of it back on 1st, you throw a little something across the middle, try to get another 6 or 7 back.
In his defense, that's probably what he was thinking, is get 6 or 7 of it back. And they're going to be thinking, oh, it's 1st and long. They're going to throw here. It's a bad defense. We've gashed him several times. We're gonna pop a little 5 to 10 yard run here, and then do that. And then, you know, 2nd and long, they're probably thinking the same thing even more. So we're gonna force the issue a little bit here. Didn't work. I wish they'd thrown it too, but I'm not gonna beat them up over it too bad. Don't get the holding penalty, man. Play clean football.
Well, I'm not gonna blame him as much for that, because you're playing, what'd you say, walk-ons on the offensive line there at the end of the game.
Oh, we're decimated.
Yeah. I can't, normally starters or backups, I'd be like, you got to have your head in the moment, got to be aware. And same thing for walk-ons, but I have a harder time blaming them. Heupel's, his wide-open offense is just, we've even talked about this earlier on the drive, is that quick lateral to the receiver and let him, try to make something happen. I didn't see a lot of that Saturday. I'm not sure if that's because of what Ole Miss was doing. Ole Miss was eating our defensive line with that guy in motion, and then Corral taking the snap and, tossing it to him over there when they had it overloaded. I'm not really going to get on Banks that much. I just didn't like how we didn't really adjust for the 3rd and longs, where everybody in the stadium knew that Corral was going to run it right straight back up the middle on a quarterback draw. It just seemed like we didn't ever – I don't know what we could have done, but we didn't do anything different. So I was just kind of concerned. You gotta find something to make them get uncomfortable. Make them find something else they don't want to do. I just thought they should bring pressure a little bit more. I was really impressed with the front four, though, getting back there on him a few times. But I would have just – there was a few more times I'd like to have seen pressure when they're, in a 3rd and long situation, where either the pressure is going to force him to throw quick, or the pressure is going to keep him from being able to do that wide open quarterback draw, which you guys will admit, those things were not just Corral making plays. That was just wide open. There was nobody, the only guy back was Banks, and the center took care of him. But on the way out, gentlemen, the Joe Milton play is the worst play I've ever seen in the history of football, and I'm 50 years old. I've never seen it. There was 3 of the worst things I've ever seen. First of all, him breaking the pocket with two rushers, breaking the pocket, forcing the defensive end to have a better angle on him, and now he's flushed. Flushing to the near side, crossing the line of scrimmage, and then running out of bounds. That has to be the 4 worst things I've ever seen, and they were all in one play. However, I did just see something on the internet where a smaller college, they were down 1 inside the 20, getting ready to, quarterback's going to take the snap, the clock's running, he's going to take the snap and spike it, and try out the field goal unit. I don't know if anybody's seen this.
Yeah, it was 4th down.
He took the knee.
He took a knee, yeah.
It wasn't 4th down. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had the brain fart. Took the knee, and that poor kid. you think Joe Milton... Of course, Joe Milton, he plays the University of Tennessee. He'll never live that down. Speaking of, on the way out, gentlemen, who do you see playing quarterback for Tennessee again, Alabama? I don't know if the fans are going to be all right with Heupel trotting Milton out there. Y'all hang in there.
Well, I think he's going to trot Milton out there, and it's a good thing it's a road game. We'll see. it sounds like there might be a chance that the Hooker injury is not as devastating as we first feared. Josh Heupel says that he's day-to-day. So we know how Heupel is with injuries, so I'm a little bit skeptical, but we'll talk more about that when we continue. Stay with us. The drive continues right back to the busy phone lines when we continue. Don't forget, folks, the G&J Auto Graphics giveaway still going on right now. G&J Auto Graphics, go to fanrunradio.com, click on the G&J giveaway link, and get registered. We gave away a free Ceramic Pro coating valued at $600 on the show Friday, and we're going to give away another one this week. We're also going to be giving away a free detail session and a free window tint this week. So head on over to fanrunradio.com and get registered now. You can choose which of those services you want, which prize you want to be registered for on the drop-down menu. It is absolutely free. And we're going to be doing multiple prize drawings this week, so get signed up now at fanrunradio.com. More of your phone calls coming up. Fan Run Radio, the drive continues. George Vall is next. What's up, George Vall?
Good afternoon, Russell. How are you doing?
Doing all right, man. How about you?
Oh, I'm doing all right. I wanted to get your take, and I don't know if you guys have the stats. I didn't want to watch it again because I didn't want to break anything and certainly wasn't going to throw anything in my own house. But I stopped counting at about 15 or 16 of the injury timeouts there in the second half. Does anybody have a stat on how many times Kiffin did that in that second half?
I thought about it halfway through my rewatch last night and just didn't want to go back through it, but there were, I think it averaged probably about three a series in the second half.
Yeah, I think in total it was anywhere between 22 and 25 times that an injury was faked by Ole Miss, or whether it was faked or not. And about, I think, how many substitutions was it, Russ? Something ridiculous.
I don't know. That seems high, but I mean, it was excessive.
For the entire game.
It was blatant. It was a mockery of the rules. And again, I just think it's unfortunate because I feel like it was so blatant that something was going to, there were going to be some, I don't want to say repercussions, but at least a rule change to where, okay, if you have to be assisted off the field, you can't come back that series. And that wouldn't cut it out 100%, but it would make it rare enough that it wouldn't have the impact on the game. Because that hurt us, man. It ruined
Absolutely.
Our momentum in the third quarter.
Well, and what I take away and what I think is remarkable, and I love what you said earlier about, the things that are going to get overshadowed because of the, people chucking stuff on the field. But, I mean, consider this, that, Lane Kiffin with this high-flying offense, let's face it, number two, I mean, certainly top five in the country insofar as offensive scheming in college football, and you got to resort to, I mean, effectively dumpster tactics to beat Tennessee. If the Mays brothers are in that game, we could have won it. If we had gotten the scoop and score, we could have won it. And then that, where they're able to sub their entire friggin' defense on an injury timeout, is just, that's what I take away from it, is we still could have won that game with our third string and our fourth string and our walk-ons, and this guy's out there having to do this in order to win that football game. What do you think about that?
No, I mean, you're absolutely right. Our program is in a good spot, but Heupel's going to have to – they're going to have to get answers on this, because now that this blueprint is out and Ole Miss basically won a game using this tactic, other teams are going to do it now until there's some sort of a rule. So unless they're not going to – if they're not going to change the rules, Heupel's going to have to change, because the entire point of going fast is to tire them out. And if you can't do that, then – you're going to have to find another way to play.
I think you were right about the you can't come back in for the possession, but I think I would go further, and if you do substitute, it costs you a timeout. Because obviously, I mean, we can't, the boy who cried wolf and all that, I get it. You can't diminish an injury on the field.
Sure.
But what but you also can't use that to your advantage. So I think a very simple prospect, a very simple premise is just like you said, if you're assisted off the field, you can't come back for that possession. And if you substitute on an injury timeout, it costs you a timeout. That's all. Those two changes right there would stop all of that nonsense that we saw the second half of that football game. And I don't. No one can convince me that he didn't plan on doing that. Depending on how they went into the half.
Oh, it was absolutely planned. It's not like he decided to do that spur of the moment. That's part of their game plan.
Right.
And people will say, well, Tennessee was doing it too. Well, once you realize that's what they're doing, you either play by their rules or you lose the game. And I'm sorry, this is SEC football. We're not talking about church league basketball here. So, yeah, Heupel got down in the gutter with him, but that was only because Kiffin, that was his making. So, you got to do something about it. I feel you, George Aval. Good phone call, man. We got to take a quick timeout. Stay with us. Jake's got the top four at four. Some basketball news. The AP poll is out. Tell you where Tennessee falls when we continue next here on Fan Run Radio.